Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
I'm Liam Maitland, KCBS Foodie Champ. Hurricane, West Point Harbor, Redwood City, Chef Justin Beatty. Good to see you, my friend. How are you?
Great to see you, my friend. How are you?
Well, I'm great. I mean, my word. I'm on the water's edge, overlooking all these glorious yachts. It's a perfect day right here on the peninsula. Let's talk about the name, Hurricane. What's behind the name?
Well, it's named after a kind of iconic turn-of-the-century wooden yacht that is owned by Mark Saunders, who is the, you know, imaginary force behind this marina. He dredged it out and brought the yacht here and is kind of our partner with this whole thing. And we named it in honor of a beautiful boat.
Is that the beautiful boat I see right there in the distance over there?
It is, right across the marina there, yeah.
The boat that inspired the name of this restaurant, new kid on the block, opened in January. So what, 9 months old? Barely a pregnancy, a full pregnancy. How's it feel 9 months in?
A bit like a pregnancy, you know, but amazing. I mean, the space is kind of becoming exactly what we wanted it to be, and we were getting a great following down here, and people are loving it, and we love it, so.
Well, we're going to take people on a virtual journey, theater of the mind, it's radio in just a bit, but first, Chef Justin, let's go back in time, your journey in food. Where did you grow up, and who was cooking in the family, and what was coming out of the kitchen when you were a kid?
I mean, it really started with my mom. She was a big gardener, always had a really nice garden, loved doing like canning and preserving. So lots of that stuff happening, jams, jellies, and all of that stuff. But she cooked, she was a full-time, you know, worked full-time, but still cooked every single night. I didn't really eat a lot of to-go, takeout stuff. My mom cooked everything from scratch. And it was, she made an amazing Yorkshire pudding.
Oh my gosh. You are making making me melt right now.
Yes. But usually that would come on the side. She bakes the chicken in the Yorkshire pudding.
Oh God.
She sears it and then pours the Yorkshire pudding over it. I still dream about that.
Oh my
So mom,
gosh.
If you hear this, yeah. you owe me some Yorkshire chicken.
You know, I always say, people often ask, what's your, you know, last supper? And I would always say, my mom's Sunday roast with Yorkshire pudding, roast potatoes and mashed potatoes.
Both.
I mean, the whole deal, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's one of them for me. There's a couple. My mom's a great cook, so.
When did cooking for you become a passion? Do you remember the first triumph in the kitchen? Maybe the first thing that you cooked for your mom that she actually loved?
It became a passion kind of by surprise. I got a job, you know, at a pizzeria, just kind of after school stuff to help buy a car. And then because of that, I got a job at probably the only really great restaurant in Albuquerque at the time. Yeah. It was called Scalo, and it was completely from scratch. They did all handmade pastas. Tom White, the owner, had lived in Italy, and it just kind of, I was going to college by then, and it really just kind of grabbed me, and I said, you know what, I'm not gonna finish college. I'm gonna go to New England Culinary Institute out on the East Coast. So.
Did you get the car?
I got the car, and the car blew up after about 6 months. So
what was the car?
It was a Volvo station wagon, baby blue,
baby blue. R.I.P. Baby blue. Culinary school, first job, professional job after college was where?
After culinary school, yeah, it was an externship. I went out to Seattle and worked at a place called the Rainier Club, which was a private club, and then went down to Portland, did another externship at Zinc Bistro, which is no longer there, and then got kind of the job that I had really gone to Portland for, which was at Wildwood. It was James Beard Award nominated Corey Schreiber's restaurant. It was kind of the big deal in Portland at the time, and got a job there, and it kind of, I was there for a while and kind of really fell in love with local and sustainable food there.
Was that your bear experience? You know, like full on the line, intense, you know, was that kind of restaurant?
It was
that intense?
It was definitely that kind of restaurant. Corey Schreiber was intense. His chef de cuisine, who was Adam Sappington at the time, is still very intense. I'm still good friends with him. And it was interesting because every cook there was like what you would consider a chef or a sous chef these days. It was kind of an all-star lineup of cooks in that kitchen. And we did all our own prep. There was no prep cooks. And, you know, you had to come in 2 hours early every day to get it done. The menu changed almost every day, so it was intense. Yeah.
You went south.
Yep.
I mean, literally, not personally, but, you know, geographically, 2004, 20 years ago, and you find yourself at Farallon, and the first chef you meet who went on to be a mentor to you was who?
Park Ulrich, the man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah. The man, the myth. He's a bit of a legend. Can we give him that now?
Absolutely. He's getting to that age.
Oh,
he'll love me for that one.
He does listen to this, you know.
I know. Yeah,
I hope he does. Okay, meeting Park, Farallon, 2004. Mm-hmm. What were your hopes coming to the city at that time, 20 years ago? What did you imagine life as a chef would be? And what did it become for you at Farallon?
Yeah, I mean, it was Wildwood had been an intense kind of couple years, and I moved down here because of the food, mainly, but because of the food scene. And at that point, downtown San Francisco was just that thriving kind of theater district with all those great restaurants down there, Jardiniere. And
it was happening, right?
It was big. And I remember walking into Farallon and just seeing that immense dining room with all the copper and, you know, the painted ceiling and the tiled ceiling. And
over the top.
Yeah, it was over the top. And yeah. I met Park, and he was just kind of really in it at that time and very, very much like in the zone with Farallon, and it was a great kitchen to be in, and he was amazing there.
Well, Pat Coletto brought the drama, you know, the drama with the design, but I'm sure some drama in the kitchen. Intense times, good times. People were out, city was thriving. It was a good time to be a chef.
It was a great time to be a chef, and it was, you know, the big houses with big numbers and just over the top extravagance kind of stuff all the time. Yeah, and it was fun.
Your takeaway from that period. From those years at Farallon, would you say, what were they?
My takeaway from them is that going out should be an event. It should be something that is fun and joyful, and it should be an experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think that we lost a little of that along the way, but that's something at Hurrica that we try to really bring is it's an experiential moment.
Which almost brings us to Hurrica. We have to mention Water Bar, because you would go on to Water Bar to this day. Not just saying it because you're sitting next to me, but it's one of my favorite restaurants. I just love it. I love it as the sun setting, Bay Bridge twinkling. It goes from day to night, the romance in the air. But at the end of the day, it's the great food on the table. Water Bar, that experience for you?
That was when I kind of really started earning my chops as far as running a kitchen. It was... That was a beast to start too, and it was very busy right from the beginning. There was not a lot of grace period for that place, and continues to be very busy and continues to be one of my favorite restaurants as well. And it was really where I learned to be a leader and run the kitchen.
And boy, did you. It's still thriving today. You survived the pandemic, all the ups and downs. End of pandemic, this dream, this vision, Hurrika, right here, built from ground up. Set the scene for us. Where are we exactly, and what will people discover when they walk through the doors?
So we're down at the end of Woodside Boulevard, just on the other side of 101. And it's kind of a little hidden gem marina that's back here in Redwood Shores, West Point Harbor. And a beautiful spot and not super well known, but those who know...
if you know, you know.
If you know, you know. And
I have to just say, Chef Justin, sorry, but we're sitting here on the deck, you know, upstairs above the restaurant, the yacht club, and we're looking out. And when I say yacht, and we are looking at some mega yachts here, I mean, this is a secret. But once you discover this place, you're going to want to come back again and again. I mean, what a place to work.
Yeah. And you know, you can't think that water bar views can get much better, but then I came down and saw these views, and I was like, oh, maybe they can get a little bit better.
Not so bad.
Yeah, not so bad. And it was just the chance to kind of come into a brand new location, which you always kind of go, oh, that's nice. And really, I got to be part of the design process for the kitchen and really get my fingerprints on it from a very, very, very early stage.
The perfect kitchen for you is what? I assume you have the perfect kitchen here at Hurrika. Why is it perfect?
Well, I think I've learned with designing this one that you'll always find something that you wish was a little more perfect, but it's definitely a beautiful kitchen, and I'm loving cooking in it. I wanted it to be centered around a live fire experience, so we have a 6-foot hearth that I had custom made, and that's really the focal point for most of the food here is getting touched by either the smoke, the embers, or just, you know, slow roasted or grilled in that hearth, and that needed to be the focal point. So the kitchen is really designed around that, and I wanted a very open kitchen, even more open than a lot of open kitchens. So it's behind a big glass wall, but you can literally see the floor behind it, you know, which we have to keep immaculate so people can see it.
Well, I have to say, usually when I sit at any restaurant, I want the face with the view, and you see the water, you see the yachts, I see the rest of the restaurant. But no, when I come here, I actually have my back to the restaurant. I want to look at the kitchen. I love the dinner theater, the lunch theater, watching you on the line and all that goes with it. Just I love watching kitchens work. They seem to function.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's always a learning period. In the first couple months we're a learning period. But, you know, once we've hit our stride a little bit here, it's been so much fun. And I love that people feel like they can kind of be invited into the kitchen too. We have guests come in and kind of behind that glass wall, there's a great space where we can kind of hang out and talk with guests as well. And that's super special.
Yeah. People love that experience. But before we mention the menu and what's on it, got to give a little love to your partners. It takes a village. You've got a pretty tight little village of partners. Tell us who's part of the Hurrika partnership experience.
Well, first and foremost, you know, Park Ulrich, who have, you know, as we talked about, 20 years in the making with him, and his partner from Marseille, which is on Treasure Island, Misan Boyce. Park is, you know, a mentor of mine and kind of my other end of my culinary mind, but also great in the management side of stuff and the numbers side of stuff. Misan is, you know, marketing force and really brings a lot of energy and passion and is kind of unstoppable. We always say that Misan is a force to be reckoned with.
She cranks it to 11 every day. I'm like,
every
does
day.
She ever go to 9? Does she ever go to 8? She's always at 11.
I'll let you know when that happens. Yeah, I'll let you know. Eric Cadena, who is our general manager, was at Boulevard and Villa Taverna in the city for many, many years.
Yeah.
Huge wine background, and that's kind of where he came in. But we asked him to do a little more than just the wine and to kind of take a hold of service and the floor as well. And he's kind of done a great job doing that. I love his energy. He's very easygoing, approachable, and he makes wine and service fun and a little bit more relaxed, which is exactly the feeling we were trying to convey.
Yeah, no, Eric brings it every time. Let's talk about the menu here at Hurrika. Give me some of the greatest hits. When people venture here, what will they discover on the Hurrika menu?
Well, we you know, I've always done kind of changing menus. We have not changed a ton of stuff in the first couple months of being open here. And you know, it's going to be hard when we do take these dishes off, but the whole roasted dorade that we do, dorade is a sea bream, and we do it over some kimchi fried rice. We make the kimchi. I love fermenting and that sort of stuff.
It is such an amazing dish. Again, we talk about theater. The theater that you bring tableside when you present that dish, it's something.
Yeah.
And it's to be shared.
Absolutely. And it's really a very simple dish. It's just the kimchi fried rice, and it's got little bacon and stuff in it, the fish, and then a scallion wash, which is kind of like a scallion vinaigrette over the top. And it's very simple, but people, the smoke and the kimchi and the rice, and it's kind of a lovely dish, and it doesn't really need anything else. The broiled live sea scallops, people really, really love. And they're just live sea scallops that we take out of the shell and toss with a little bit of shio koji, which is what they use to make miso, basically.
And love it.
And a little bit of garlic butter, and that's it. And then a little ogo and Meyer lemon on top. But people, you know, the simplicity is something that I think I learned a lot at Water Bar with seafood in particular.
Yeah.
And then the meats and stuff. We kind of combined the idea of Water Bar and Epic in terms of meat and fish. So we're not really just a seafood restaurant, but I do a really nice whole roasted Sakura pork rack that we're doing on some creamless corn. So it's just corn and corn juice cooked together.
Oh, man.
And some really nice hearth roasted peaches over the top, and some potato chip crusted summer squash with it. So,
you know, I came for lunch today, the clam chowder. Oh, my word. Yeah. I like anything with piggy parts. You had crispy piggy parts in the clam chowder.
The bacon needs to be crispy in your chowder. Yeah. So we actually put it in a little extra crispy stuff at the end to make it stay crispy.
My favorite tomatoes are early girl tomatoes. Your tomato soup, again, just pops, hits the spot.
Yeah. I think with something like tomato soup, it's really about finding really good product, and you can't hide a tomato in tomato soup, you know. So it's finding really good early girl tomatoes, and we had some great ones from River Dog Farms that were amazing.
You have a great pastry chef. I had two desserts at lunch, would be naughty not to. Both banging, both satisfied my sweet tooth. So pastry, part of the story here too.
Yeah, I mean, pastry, I've always, and ask any pastry chef I've worked with, I always love the collaboration with pastry. I've done a little bit of pastry myself, and so we put the pastry department literally in the back kitchen with her, and so those desserts we prep together, and we plate together in the back there, and Akaline Ganasan, who's came to us, she was at Pausa before this, and but has worked all over. She worked with the Michael Mina Group for a while at Aqua back in the day, and she's amazing. We instantly became best friends.
Yeah. So. Well, I want to be her friend now, knowing how she makes these desserts.
Well, I'm her best friend, but I don't know if it goes
okay,
both ways.
Okay. Kamate. Let's talk about some reasons to come here. Let's talk happy hour.
Happy hour. So we're doing the happy hour oyster, $1.99 every day, all through lunch, into happy hour, all the way to 5 o'clock dinner. And I get super great local fresh oysters, usually British Columbia. And it's a great deal. So $2 oysters, well, you can't find anywhere.
I know, I just had some. They were fantastic. The wine program, the cocktail program, also an important part of the Harka story.
Yeah. Eric is doing a great job with the wine, and we're building that wine list, kind of focusing on interesting wines. He's from Paso Robles and did a lot of wine work down there, and is very much interested in kind of the local wine as well as, you know, foreign wines as well.
That's why I saw some Paso wines and a great diverse mix, whatever satisfies your palate. If you want to have, you know, from Chardonnay to Cabernet, Pinot, you know, I think there might be a Zin on there too, whatever. You'll find it on the menu. Talk a little bit about the design, Chef Justin. When people walk into Harka, what's the vibe? Talk through the design, because it has a couple of really cool things. Among them, and I've never seen this at any restaurant anywhere, you probably have one of the biggest jellyfish tanks. I want to say probably bigger than anyone in any restaurant in the world.
It would need to be confirmed, but it's it's the biggest privately owned jellyfish tank, we believe, in the U.S. There's always ones that are maybe we don't know about, but it was designed by Tenji, and they did the tanks at Water Bar as well, but we wanted that, like, ethereal kind of kind of ghostly movement of sea urchins, and they're just kind of calming and tranquil in their movement.
Oh no, you get lost. You've got to be careful. If you're on a date, you can get lost in the jellyfish. Don't do that.
Pay attention to the date.
Yes. Okay. All right. I'll take your advice. Listen, a great place to come for an intimate dinner for two. If you want to go solo, sit at the bar. You can do that. Bring some friends, family, gather. A private party. And by the way, if you have a yacht or a boat and just want to cruise up from the bay, how does that work?
Well, we have about 1,000 feet of dock space here, 500 that the yacht club upstairs uses, and another 500 that's for our guests should they want to take their boat here.
It's so cool. I'm going to have to buy a boat.
You should.
Wait, I do have one, but it's stuck on a lake. For those who've not been here, Chef Justin, why should they come? Why should they come enjoy Harika?
Well, I think just the environment itself. We wanted this to be kind of a place to, you know, escape to, and its own little hideaway, and it is. And we wanted it to feel relaxed yet elegant, and we think that the food speaks for itself. At least I hope it does. And the service is relaxed, but very attentive and just amazingly welcoming. It's a beautiful space, and it doesn't feel overdone and stuffy.
Well, I feel like I took a little vacation just coming here for lunch today.
Yeah.
And the service, you know, present, informed, but they're not on you, you know. And the food. I mean, every single dish coming out of the kitchen. I'm leaving with a happy tummy. You will too, friends. Chef Justin, I've been following you for so many years. You're doing great things. Congrats to you, Misan, Chef Park, and Eric. Harika, new kid on the block. They're making their mark. They've survived the pregnancy, 9 months, going for full term. So come one, come all, come enjoy more on the Harika story at kcbsradio.com and click on Foodie Chap. Yeah, I'll have another cocktail, please.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Liam Maitland, KCBS Foodie Champ. Harika, West Point Harbor, Redwood City, Chef Justin Beatty. Good to see you, my friend. How are you?
Great to see you, my friend. How are you?
Well, I'm great. I mean, my word. I'm on the water's edge, overlooking all these glorious yachts. It's a perfect day right here on the peninsula. Let's talk about the name, Harika. What's behind the name?
Well, it's named after a kind of iconic turn of the century wooden yacht that is owned by Mark Saunders, who is the, you know, imaginary force behind this marina. He dredged it out and brought the yacht here, and is kind of our partner with this whole thing. And we named it in honor of a beautiful boat.
Isn't that the beautiful boat I see right there in the distance over there?
It is, right across the marina there, yeah.
The boat that inspired the name of this restaurant. New kid on the block, opened in January. So what, 9 months old? Barely a pregnancy, a full pregnancy. How's it feel 9 months in?
A bit like a pregnancy, you know, but amazing. I mean, the space is kind of becoming exactly what we wanted it to be, and we were getting a great following down here, and people are loving it, and we love it, so.
Well, we're going to take people on a virtual journey, theater of the mind, it's radio in just a bit, but first, Chef Justin, let's go back in time, your journey in food. Where did you grow up, and who was cooking in the family, and what was coming out of the kitchen when you were a kid?
I mean, it really started with my mom. She was a big gardener, always had a really nice garden, loved doing like canning and preserving. So lots of that stuff happening, jams, jellies, and all of that stuff. But she cooked, she was a full-time, you know, worked full-time, but still cooked every single night. I didn't really eat a lot of to-go, takeout stuff. My mom cooked everything from scratch. And it was, she made an amazing Yorkshire pudding.
Oh my gosh. You are making making me melt right now.
Yes. But usually that would come on the side. She bakes the chicken in the Yorkshire pudding.
Oh god.
She sears it and then pours the Yorkshire pudding over it. I still dream about that.
Oh my
So mom,
gosh.
If you hear this, yeah. you owe me some Yorkshire chicken.
You know, I always say, people often ask, what's your, you know, last supper? And I would always say, my mom's Sunday roast with Yorkshire pudding, roast potatoes and mashed potatoes.
Both.
I mean, the whole deal, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's one of them for me. There's a couple. My mom's a great cook, so.
When did cooking for you become a passion? Do you remember the first triumph in the kitchen? Maybe the first thing that you cooked for your mom that she actually loved?
It became a passion kind of by surprise. I got a job, you know, at a pizzeria, just kind of after school stuff to help buy a car. And then because of that, I got a job at probably the only really great restaurant in Albuquerque at the time. Yeah. It was called Scalo, and it was completely from scratch. They did all handmade pastas. Tom White, the owner, had lived in Italy, and it just kind of, I was going to college by then, and it really just kind of grabbed me, and I said, you know what, I'm not gonna finish college. I'm going to go to New England Culinary Institute out on the East Coast. So.
Did you get the car?
I got the car, and the car blew up after about 6 months. So
what was the car?
It was a Volvo station wagon, baby blue.
Baby blue. R.I.P. Baby blue. Culinary school, first job, professional job after college was where?
After culinary school, yeah, it was an externship. I went out to Seattle and worked at a place called the Rainier Club, which was a private club, and then went down to Portland, did another externship at Zinc Bistro, which is no longer there, and then got kind of the job that I had really gone to Portland for, which was at Wildwood. It was James Beard Award nominated Corey Schreiber's restaurant. It was kind of the big deal in Portland at the time, and got a job there, and it kind of, I was there for a while and kind of fell in love with local and sustainable food there.
Was that your bear experience? You know, like full on the line, intense, you know, was that kind of restaurant?
It was
that intense?
It was definitely that kind of restaurant. Corey Schreiber was intense. His chef de cuisine, who is Adam Sappington at the time, is still very intense. I'm still good friends with him. And it was interesting because every cook there was like what you would consider a chef or a sous chef these
yeah.
days. It was kind of an all-star lineup of cooks in that kitchen. And we did all our own prep. There was no prep cooks. And, you know, you had to come in 2 hours early every day to get it done. The menu changed almost every day, so it was intense. Yeah,
you went south.
Yep.
I mean, literally, not personally, but you know, geographically, 2004, 20 years ago, and you find yourself at Farallon, and the first chef you meet who went on to be a mentor to you was who?
Park Ulrich, the man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah. The man, the myth. He's a bit of a legend. Can we give him that now?
Absolutely. He's getting to that age.
Oh,
he'll love me for that one.
He does listen to this, you know.
I know.
Yeah, I hope he does. Okay, meeting Park, Farallon, 2004. What were your hopes coming to the city at that time, 20 years ago? What did you imagine life as a chef would be? And what did it become for you at Farallon?
Yeah, I mean, it was Wildwood had been an intense kind of couple years, and I moved down here because of the food, mainly, but because of the food scene. And at that point, downtown San Francisco was just that thriving kind of theater district with all those great restaurants down there, Jardiniere. And
it was happening, right?
It was big. And I remember walking into Farallon and just seeing that immense dining room with all the copper and, you know, the painted ceiling and the tiled ceiling. And
over the top.
Yeah, it was over the top. And yeah. I met Park, and he was just kind of really in it at that time, and very, very much like in the zone with Farallon. And it was a great kitchen to be in, and he was amazing there.
Well, Pat Coletto brought the drama. You know, the drama with the design, but I'm sure some drama in the kitchen. Intense times, good times. People were out. City was thriving. It was a good time to be a chef.
It was a great time to be a chef, and it was, you know, the big houses with big numbers and just over-the-top extravagance kind of stuff all the time, yeah, and it was fun.
Your takeaway from that period, from those years at Farallon, would you say, what were they?
My takeaway from them is that going out should be an event. It should be something that is fun and joyful, and it should be an experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think that we lost a little of that along the way, but that's something at Hurrica that we try to really bring is it's an experiential moment.
Which almost brings us to Hurrica. We have to mention Water Bar, because you would go on to Water Bar to this day. Not just saying it because you're sitting next to me, but it's one of my favorite restaurants. I just love it. I love it as the sun setting, Bay Bridge twinkling. It goes from day to night, the romance in the air, but at the end of the day, it's the great food on the table. Water Bar, that experience for you?
That was when I kind of really started earning my chops as far as running a kitchen. It was that was a beast to start too, and it was very busy right from the beginning. There was not a lot of grace period for that place, and continues to be very busy and continues to be one of my favorite restaurants as well. And it was really where I learned to be a leader and run the kitchen.
And boy, did you. It's still thriving today. You survived the pandemic, all the ups and downs. End of pandemic, this dream, this vision, Hurrica, right here, built from ground up. Set the scene for us. Where are we exactly, and what will people discover when they walk through the doors?
So we're down at the end of Woodside Boulevard, just on the other side of 101. And it's kind of a little hidden gem marina that's back here in Redwood Shores, West Point Harbor. And a beautiful spot, and not super well known, but those who know...
if you know, you know.
If you know, you know. And
I have to just say... Chef Justin, sorry, but we're sitting here on the deck, you know, upstairs above the restaurant, the yacht club, and we're looking out. And when I say yacht, and we are looking at some mega yachts here, I mean, this is a secret. But once you discover this place, you're going to want to come back again and again. I mean, what a place to work.
Yeah. And you know, you can't think that Water Bar views can get much better, but then I came down and saw these views, and I was like, oh, maybe they can get a little bit better.
Not so bad.
Yeah, not so bad. And it was just the chance to kind of come into a brand new location, which you always kind of go, that's nice. And really, I got to be part of the design process for the kitchen and really get my fingerprints on it from a very, very, very early stage.
The perfect kitchen for you is what? I assume you have the perfect kitchen here at Hurrica. Why is it perfect?
Well, I think I've learned with designing this one that you'll always find something that you wish was a little more perfect, but it's definitely a beautiful kitchen, and I'm loving cooking in it. I wanted it to be centered around a live fire experience, so we have a 6-foot hearth that I'd custom made, and that's really the focal point for most of the food here is getting touched by either the smoke, the embers, or just, you know, slow roasted or grilled in that hearth, and that needed to be the focal point. So the kitchen is really designed around that, and I wanted a very open kitchen, even more open than a lot of open kitchens. So it's behind a big glass wall, but you can literally see the floor behind it, you know, which we have to keep immaculate so people can see it.
Well, I have to say, usually when I sit at any restaurant, I want the face with the view, and you see the water, you see the yachts, I see the rest of the restaurant. But no, when I come here, I actually have my back to the restaurant. I want to look at the kitchen. I love the dinner theater, the lunch theater, watching you on the line and all that goes with it. Just I love watching kitchens work. They seem to function.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's always a learning period, and the first couple months were a learning period, but you know, once we've hit our stride a little bit here, it's been so much fun. And I love that people feel like they can kind of be invited into the kitchen too. We have guests come in and kind of behind that glass wall, there's a great space where we can kind of hang out and talk with guests as well. And that's super special.
Yeah. People love that experience. But before we mention the menu and what's on it, got to give a little love to your partners. It takes a village. You've got a pretty tight little village of partners. Tell us who's part of the Hurrika partnership experience.
Well, first and foremost, you know, Park Ulrich, who have, you know, as we talked about, 20 years in the making with him, and his partner from Marseille, which is on Treasure Island, Misan Boyce. Park is, you know, a mentor of mine and kind of my other end of my culinary mind, but also great in the management side of stuff and the numbers side of stuff. Misan is, you know, marketing force and really brings a lot of energy and passion and is kind of unstoppable. We always say that Misan is a force to be reckoned with.
She cranks it to 11 every day. I'm like,
every
does
day.
She ever go to 9? Does she ever go to 8? She's always at 11.
I'll let you know when that happens. Yeah, I'll let you know. Eric Cadena, who is our general manager, was at Boulevard and Villa Taverna in the city for many, many years.
Yeah.
Huge wine background, and that's kind of where he came in. But we asked him to do a little more than just the wine and to kind of take a hold of service and the floor as well. And he's kind of done a great job doing that. I love his energy. He's very easygoing, approachable, and he makes wine and service fun and a little bit more relaxed, which is exactly the feeling we were trying to convey.
Yeah, no, Eric brings it every time. Let's talk about the menu here at Hurrika. Give me some of the greatest hits. When people venture here, what will they discover on the Hurrika menu?
Well, we you know, I've always done kind of changing menus. We have not changed a ton of stuff in the first couple months of being open here. And you know, it's going to be hard when we do take these dishes off, but the whole roasted dorade that we do, dorade is a sea bream, and we do it over some kimchi fried rice. We make the kimchi. I love fermenting and that sort of stuff.
It is such an amazing dish. Again, we talk about theater. The theater that you bring tableside when you present that dish, it's something.
Yeah.
And it's to be shared.
Absolutely. And it's really a very simple dish. It's just the kimchi fried rice, and it's got little bacon and stuff in it, the fish, and then a scallion wash, which is kind of like a scallion vinaigrette over the top. And it's very simple, but people, the smoke and the kimchi and the rice, and it's kind of a lovely dish, and it doesn't really need anything else. The broiled live sea scallops, people really, really love. And they're just live sea scallops that we take out of the shell and toss with a little bit of shio koji, which is what they use to make miso,
yeah.
Basically.
And love it.
And a little bit of garlic butter, and that's it. And then a little ogo and Meyer lemon on top. But people, you know, the simplicity is something that I think I learned a lot at Water Bar with seafood in particular.
Yeah.
And then the meats and stuff. We kind of combined the idea of Water Bar and Epic in terms of meat and fish. So we're not really just a seafood restaurant, but I do a really nice whole roasted Sakura pork rack that we're doing on some creamless corn. So it's just corn and corn juice cooked together.
Oh, man.
And some really nice hearth roasted peaches over the top and some potato chip crusted summer squash with it. So,
you know, I came for lunch today, the clam chowder. Oh, my word. Yeah. I like anything with piggy parts. You had crispy piggy parts in the clam chowder.
The bacon needs to be crispy in your chowder. Yeah, yeah. So we actually put it in a little extra crispy stuff at the end to make it stay crispy.
My favorite tomatoes are early girl tomatoes. Your tomato soup, again, just pops, hits the spot.
Yeah. I think with something like tomato soup, it's really about finding really good product, and you can't hide a tomato in tomato soup, you know. So it's finding really good early girl tomatoes, and we had some great ones from River Dog Farms that were amazing.
You have a great pastry chef. I had two desserts at lunch. Would be naughty not to. Both banging, both satisfied my sweet tooth. So pastry, part of the story here too.
Yeah, I mean, pastry, I've always, and ask any pastry chef I've worked with, I always love the collaboration with pastry. I've done a little bit of pastry myself, and so we put the pastry department literally in the back kitchen with her, and so those desserts are, we prep together, and we plate together in the back there, and Akaline Gamasan, who's came to us, she was at Pausa before this, and but has worked all over. She worked with the Michael Mina Group for a while at Aqua back in the day, and she's amazing. We instantly became best friends.
Yeah. So. Well, I want to be her friend now, knowing how she makes these desserts.
Well, I'm her best friend, but I don't know if I, you know, I don't know if it goes both ways.
Okay. Kamate. Let's talk about some reasons to come here. Let's talk happy hour.
Happy hour. So we're doing the happy hour oyster, $1.99 every day, all through lunch into happy hour, all the way to 5 o'clock dinner. And I get super great local fresh oysters, usually British Columbia. Yeah. And yeah, it's a great deal. So $2 oysters, well, you can't find anywhere.
I know. I just had some. They were fantastic. The wine program, the cocktail program, also an important part of the Harka story.
Yeah. Eric is doing a great job with the wine, you know, and we're building that wine list, kind of focusing on interesting wines. He's from Paso Robles and did a lot of wine work down there, and is very much interested in kind of the local wine as well as, you know, foreign wines as well.
That's why I saw some Paso wines and a great diverse mix, whatever satisfies your palate. If you want to have, you know, from Chardonnay to Cabernet, Pinot, you know, I think there might be a Zin on there too, whatever. You'll find it on the menu. Talk a little bit about the design, Chef Justin. When people walk into Harka, what's the vibe? Talk through the design, because it has a couple of really cool things. Among them, and I've never seen this at any restaurant anywhere, you probably have one of the biggest jellyfish tanks, I want to say probably bigger than anyone in any restaurant in the world.
It would need to be confirmed, but it's it's the biggest privately owned jellyfish tank, we believe, in the U.S. There's always ones that are maybe we don't know about, but it was designed by Tenji, and they did the same. They did the tanks at Water Bar as well. But we wanted that like ethereal kind of ghostly movement of the sea urchins, and they're just kind of calming and tranquil in their movement.
Oh no, you get lost. You've got to be careful. If you're on a date, you can get lost in the jellyfish. Don't do that.
Pay attention to the date.
Yes. Okay. All right. I'll take your advice. Listen, a great place to come for an intimate dinner for two. If you want to go solo, sit at the bar. You can do that. Bring some friends, family, gather a private party. And by the way, if you have a yacht or a boat and just want to cruise up from the bay, how does that work?
Well, we have about 1,000 feet of dock space here, 500 that the yacht club upstairs uses, and another 500 that's for our guests should they want to take their boat here.
It's so cool. I'm going to have to buy a boat.
You should.
Wait, I do have one, but it's stuck on a lake. For those who've not been here, Chef Justin, why should they come? Why should they come enjoy Harka?
Well, I think just the environment itself. We wanted this to be kind of a place to, you know, escape to, and its own little hideaway. And it is. And we wanted it to feel relaxed yet elegant. And we think that the food speaks for itself. At least I hope it does. And the service is relaxed, but very attentive and just amazingly welcoming. It's a beautiful space, and it doesn't feel overdone and stuffy.
Well, I feel like I took a little vacation just coming here for lunch,
right? Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
And the service, you know, present, informed, but they're not on you.
Yeah.
You know, and the food. I mean, every single dish coming out of the kitchen. I'm leaving with a happy tummy. You will too, friends. Chef Justin, I've been following you for so many years. You're doing great things. Congrats to you, Misan, Chef Park, and Eric. Harka, new kid on the block. They're making their mark. They've survived the pregnancy, 9 months, going for full term. So come one, come all, come enjoy more on the Harka story at kcbsradio.com and click on Foodie Chap. Yeah, I'll have another cocktail, please.